We're grateful to have David Zadok and his wife Eddie and son Maidan, his two other children, Mayan, who just got out of the Israeli Defense Force not long ago, and was ministering in New Zealand to others who had just gotten out of the military as well, as they usually like to get out of country and go somewhere else. One, New Zealand's one of those places. And also Hadass, who's now in the military, and I have no idea how she carries that big pack, because she's only like 4 foot something. I don't know what she is, but I think the pack is as big as she is. She manages somehow. So. But David is a very dear friend, if you'd come, brother. Thank you so much for the fellowship that we've had, I don't know, close to 20 years, I guess. I don't know, 15 anyways. And we do support David and Eddie and Grace and Truth Congregation. And I can never remember. In Connaught, Connaught, I got it. Yes. Connaught.
It's a difficult name.
It's just a small, I guess, village or whatever outside of Rishon LeZion and on the coast, along the coast of Israel. But David is involved in more ministries than I can keep track of. He is also, I don't know, the publisher, I guess, or you're the publisher of Hagafen Publishing Company, which is committed to translating and publishing solid biblical works and biographies and literature in Hebrew, because there's very little in Hebrew. There's a lot in Russian, but not very much in Hebrew. And so the publishing company is for the purpose of getting materials out, from Sunday school materials, children materials, books, I don't know what all, a lot of it. And so he's publisher for that, you know, pastor of Grace and Truth Congregation, which is a leading congregation within Israel. First church building built since 1948, the establishment of the nation. First Christian church building, did I say that? The Christian church. He's, I don't know, you're chairman, or he has been chairman of the Israel College of the Bible. He's on a Reformed Pastors Fellowship. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember all the other things. It seems like everything in Israel is connected to you somehow. So anyway, we welcome you. I'm taking too much of your time. So,
thanks.
Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for being a part of our Jerusalem Gateway Partnership. So,
good morning once again, congregation. I'm very privileged and honored to be with you, and particularly for me, it's always to be in fellowship with congregation outside of Israel. It's a great privilege, because it's a great reminder of what God has done in and through Christ, making us into a one new man in Him. And I'm very thankful to being here once again. I think this is my second time that I'm here in the congregation, and I'm very grateful for your prayers, your support, and your love for us, and of course, above all, your friendship. Pastor Doug asked me to say just a few words about the retreat that we just had in Rhodes. It was from June 25th to 29th. Six families gathered together, three Israeli families and three Palestinian families, for what I call the three Fs, the fun, fellowship, and lots of food. It was a great time for all of us to put aside everything that we are involved with, particularly in these days that there is a lot of tension, particularly in Gaza and in between Gaza and Israel. And particularly to hear from Nashad Fuhrman, who is the director of the Palestinian Bible Society, about some of his challenging and yet encouraging trips that he's making in Gaza, and to see that even in that situation, often that people are talking about a challenging and very, very difficult humanitarian issues that are becoming a real issue in that part of the world, and at the same time, the Spirit of God is working, and these are things that we often don't hear in our daily media. So that was, for me and for many of us, I think it was a highlight, but of course, one of the other important things was just to be fellowship with the people that we don't often get to see or fellowship with. So we are very thankful for your support to the Jerusalem Gateway Project to make that possible. As we turn into the Word of God, we talked a little bit about some of the events that you have been just celebrating, lots of anniversaries and events. Also in Israel, particularly in the months of April and May, there are a lot of events and various memorial days. It begins with the Holocaust Memorial Day, and then we have the Soldiers Memorial Day, and the very next day is our Independence Day that we celebrate. And then in the middle of May, we had the unification of Jerusalem in 1967, when both East and West Jerusalem became united. And of course, this year on the 14th of May, after President Trump's declaration, the U.S. Embassy moved to Jerusalem in that day, which was also the catastrophe day for the Palestinians as Israel became a state. And then the same Friday was the beginning of the month of Ramadan, the month in which the Muslims throughout the world, and certainly in Israel, they fast for 1 month. And finally, the very next day was the Feast of Pentecost, the feast in which in Israel it's celebrated, among other things, for the giving of the law, which traditionally the Jewish people believe that the law was given in that day. And for us as Jewish Christians, it's a great opportunity where we see how the law was given in the same day that also the Spirit was given, and also to make the comparison that when the law was given in Mount Sinai, 3,000 people were killed. But when the Holy Spirit came in that Pentecost, in that very same day, 3,000 people were received new life. And so many of these events were also this year augmented by the fact that it was the 70th anniversary. And this year for us as a country in particular, the Day of Independence was the climax of all of those events. But with all the excitement and the challenging that these events had for us, I think we need to look at them from the biblical lenses. I believe that we need to see the independence of Israel and the return of the Jewish people to the land of the fathers, to the promised land, as a fulfillment of God's promises and also prophecies. But I also believe, more importantly, that we need to see them not just in the connection to the return of the land, but particularly in the spiritual return of the Jewish people back to their God and their Messiah. So before we look into the book of Ezekiel, I think that when we think of the Old Testament in particularly, we really see how God displays his goodness to Israel. But that goodness is not because of Israel, but mostly because he is a loving, gracious, and also a faithful God. A careful read of the various narratives of the Old Testament clearly shows us the unfaithfulness of the people of Israel comparing to the always faithfulness of God to his promises. It was only immediately, almost after God brought us out of the land of Egypt, after all the miracles that he did, that we as a people, we made a golden calf, and we said, this is the God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And of course, this was not the first and not the last time that we failed in our sins and also in our idolatry against God. Eventually, God also in his wisdom sent both the northern and the southern kingdom of Israel into exile. And yet, throughout the pages of the Old Testament, side by side, we read about the unfaithfulness of Israel and about the faithfulness and the goodness of the God of Israel. In Scripture, we often see a pattern that is repeated again and again. We see the faithfulness of God to his promises and his covenants, that they are not dependent on our performances or the performances of man. And this pattern continues throughout the Old and the New Testament. From Genesis 3 to Revelation 22, we see again and again the same pattern. The pages of biblical history are packed with accounts of God's faithfulness and man's unfaithfulness. He is indeed our trustworthy God. The climax, of course, of God's faithfulness and goodness is seen at the cross of Calvary. It was on that cross that the Son of God paid the total and the full price for fulfilling the promises that he made thousands of years earlier. Humanly speaking, it's utterly amazing to think that the living God, who made all things out of nothing, would send his Son, his only begotten Son, to die for us who are dust of the earth. Such a love and sacrifice can only be expressed and executed by the living God and through his Son. We have indeed an awesome God, and we understand the depth and the width of his love and his grace that is indeed incomprehensible. And I think that what really kept Christ on the cross wasn't the nails of the Roman soldiers, but it was in fact his love for us as his people that kept him on that cross until he could cry, "It is finished." And this is the amazing truth that we have as our hope. Now, when we look back at the history of Israel, we see that the Assyrian and the Babylonian exile of the northern and the southern kingdom was one of the greatest tragedy for the people of Israel in the Old Testament. The book of Lamentation describes that hardship and that destruction. It is a book that in the Jewish tradition is read on the 9th of the month of Av, one of the Jewish months, where traditionally it's understood that both temples were destroyed in that same very day. Many of the prophets, of course, prophesied about this horrible event that would happen. But also, many of the same prophets also spoke about the restoration of the people of Israel. This morning, I want to concentrate on one particular passage from the book of Ezekiel. So if you would turn with me to Ezekiel 36, and I would like to read verses 22 to 32. Ezekiel 36, verses 22 to 32. And I would be reading from the ESV version. Here is what the Word of God tells us. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes." And then we start with a series of "I will." "I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the nations and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities, and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. I think when we read again, we see exactly what I mentioned earlier, that side by side we see the failure of the people of Israel, and in that very same passage, we see how God acts. In these verses, 13 times, he uses the verb, I will. God promises that not only he will gather them from the various nations and bring them into their own land, but that he would also sprinkle them with the clean water and would cleanse them from their uncleanliness and would put his spirit upon them. Later on, in the next chapter, in the vision of the dry bones, he repeats the same promise about the physical, but also the spiritual rebirth of the people of Israel. In Ezekiel 37, verse 14, he said this, said, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Here we see how God connects the return of the people of Israel to the land to the ability to know him. And this is also what he's doing, I believe, in our times. So first and foremost, as we talk about the state of Israel, and particularly this year, our 70th anniversary, I think that we need to see it from God's perspective and fulfillment of the prophecies, including the one that we just read. But we also know that while the land plays an important part in God's economy, yet he's mostly interested in the souls and in the salvation of the people. He sent his only begotten Son for the souls of the people, not for the soil of the land, not even land flowing with milk and honey. And yet, to the land, and even though the land does not save, yet it provides a platform for God to bring his good news to his people. And again, that's something that we are seeing in our times, in modern state of Israel. However, the prophets were not the only one who believed in the return of the Jews to their homeland. For many of the reformers, and particularly the Puritans, it was obvious from the prophecies that the day would come where God would bring the Jewish people back to the land. And the book written by Ian Murray, The Puritan Hope, shares that great hope of the Jewish people, or for the Jewish people and the land. But when we talk about the great hope and expectation, we realize that God in his sovereignty, before the reestablishment of the state of Israel, he restored the Hebrew language. We know that our God is a God of speech. In his endless wisdom, he determined to communicate through words with us as his creatures. From the beginning of the creation, God spoke. He created all things out of nothing by the word of his mouth. He said, let there be, and there was. And everything that he created was good and very good. And the same pattern is repeated again and again until the completion of the creation. God, we can say, spoke the word into being. But God was not silent after the creation either. He continued to speak. And as the writer of the Hebrews tells us, in the latter days, he spoke to his Son, Jesus Christ, as the writer says. The influence and the significance of the language is often evident also in the history of the Reformation, as we see how the ideas of the Reformation spread from Europe to various parts of the continent of Europe and later on, even to this land and also beyond. Oh, it's interesting when we think about the Hebrew language, which for almost 2,000 years, even though it was one of the oldest languages, but for 2,000 years, it was not a spoken language. Many of the Jewish people who were scattered throughout the world, they said that this is the holy language, that we should not be using it for our daily conversations. And of course, the Hebrew language was used mainly for the reading of the scriptures and prayers in the synagogue. But again, God, in his wisdom, started to change the state of affairs in regard to the Hebrew language. At the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, as more and more Jewish settlers were coming into Palestine, eventually the Hebrew language became once again a lively and a spoken language. And eventually, the Hebrew language was declared not only as the official language of the settlers, but in 1948 it became also the official language of the state of Israel. So we see that God, in his wisdom and sovereignty, has restored the land as well as the language, and those two together have paved the way for the restoration of the people of Israel. So the restoration of the language of land has paved the way for the restoration of the people of Israel. After another hardest and darkest point in our modern history, with the loss of 6 million Jews in the Holocaust, God once again looked upon the Jewish people with favor. He enabled them to come back to their land and to reestablish the state of Israel in the same land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But of course, we should not forget the challenge and the hardship that it caused for the Arab population who at the time were living in the land. Some left, and many others were displaced and created many refugees that many of them till today are suffering as they live in the neighboring countries. That's why for them, the independence of Israel was the catastrophe day. But for me, the coming back of the people to the free land is yet another exodus of God. In the first exodus, God brought the Jewish people out of 400 years of slavery and set them free. They were weak and crushed under the harshness of the Egyptian taskmasters and the powerful pharaohs. And yet, while they were powerless, God, as he is, he acted. The God of I will, he acted, and he brought them out with a strong hand and outstretched arm, as he says. But I see the return of the people of Israel in 1948 until today as a second exodus. Because also at that time, we as the Jewish people were scattered all over the nations. We were segregated and we were driven to the death camps and were once again powerless. And isn't it often also in our lives that often in the times that we feel with no power, that God in a special way acts in our lives? And that was the case also again. God delivered us and brought us back to the promised land and reestablished in the state of Israel right after 6 million Jews were murdered. And again, we see that this is the God who is the God of acts, the God who is the God of I will. God is not only faithful, but he's also merciful and gracious. We see that in both exoduses of the people of Israel. In the darkest moment, he gave them hope, life, and also deliverance from oppression. In Ezekiel 36, verse 30 that we read, he promised, said, I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you would never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. God often provides for us far more than we need or even we can imagine. This is the God who cares about his people and does not let them suffer to the point of no return. And if he has to restore first the language and then the land in order to restore his people, then that is what he will do. I want to share with you briefly just a few interesting facts. After 70 years of independence, in our times and days, we are seeing a true spiritual rebirth of the Jewish people, as once again, they are returning back to their own God and to their Messiah. The God of the Old Testament is once again being recognized and found by the people who for 2,000 years rejected him as a whole. While the state of Israel is still a very, very secular nation, yet more and more Israelis are coming to faith and calling upon the God of their fathers. We see that among the younger generation. We see that among the Holocaust survivors as well. Once again, the people are seeing that Christ indeed is the way and the truth and the life. And in Jesus, they are finding life and they are finding it abundantly. Today in Israel and among the Jewish people in other countries, we see how God slowly but surely is drawing his people to himself, just as the prophet Ezekiel tells us. One soul at a time, not in great numbers yet, but it's happening more and more. We are seeing an openness towards the gospel that was not there before. We're seeing a change even in the last 5 or 6 years. In our congregation, Grace and Truth, which, by the way, about 2 years ago, we celebrated our 40th anniversary, so we are very close with you in terms of the establishment of our congregations. We are seeing more and more people coming to faith. One of the congregations last year, in one day, they had 39 people who were baptized. Israel today is a nation that is far, far away from God. The people of Israel are not seeking after God, but rather living an immoral lives. And yet God is in the move among them. This is again the same pattern that we continue to see in the Old and the New Testament. He's acting just as we saw in Ezekiel 36. And he's drawing his people to himself and cleansing them from all of the uncleanness. And it's him that is doing that. He is still, I will, God. At the same time, while the church in Israel is growing and maturing, we also continue to see that the Jewish people continue to immigrate from other nations to Israel. The world record, which is kind of interesting, for carrying passengers in a commercial airline is that of El Al, that in Boeing 747 carried 1,088 Ethiopians from Addis Ababa to Tel Aviv in one flight. Today in most cities in Israel, you can see from afar many cranes working in many building sites. Israel is growing numerically, but also spiritually. For the first time in almost 2,000 years, there are more Jews who are living in Israel than at any other time before that in the other countries. Well, there are many amazing stories to tell about how God is still bringing Jews to Israel. I want to share just two brief stories. Pastor Doug mentioned earlier about our daughter who finished her military service. One of the main things that he did while she was in the military was teaching Hebrew to the new immigrant soldiers. Her official title was the Hebrew commander. In one of her courses, they had 480 soldiers who came from 39 different countries at one time. This is indeed, I believe, the fulfillment of the promise of Ezekiel that we read earlier, where he says, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. The other story is about an unusual immigration. In October of 20th of 2009, seven Chinese men landed at the Ben Gurion Airport from Beijing. They came from the Kaifeng area in China. The Jews immigrated to China some almost 1,200 years ago from Persia and from Iraq. They settled there since in those days, Kaifeng was one of the most bigger, one of the larger commercial areas in China, and which made it, of course, very much attractive for the Jews. And I believe that this is, again, truly a fulfillment of the words of Zechariah in chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, where he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. We can say a lot about the contribution of the people of Israel today in these 7 years. But I think what's important is not the contribution that the people of Israel are making to the world, but the fact that we need to be a light to our nations. Just a couple of days ago, our prime minister promised the Iranian people that because they are suffering from drought, that he would provide or would make available the Israeli technologies for sanitation of water in a Farsi language to a website so that they can use the same technology that Israel is using. But while these are important things, God has called us to be a light to the nations, not in the material way only, but particularly in a spiritual way. And as a people, we indeed have failed to be the light to the nations, just as we failed to be a light to the nations in the Old Testament. But I believe that God in his goodness is about to bring a change. In conclusion, Israel in 7 years has much to be thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness in fulfilling the promises and the prophecies of the prophets like Ezekiel. In these 7 years, Israel has made much progress and advancement in many areas and has made the desert bloom, as we often say. But as I said, I believe that God has something far more for us as a nation and as a country. We were called and we are called to be a light to the nations. And that call has not stopped. And a day will come, and I hope soon, that we will bring the message of the free grace of God to the world. I think no other nation like Israel, who has experienced for thousands of years the grace and the goodness of God, can really show that message in a great way. And now, in Christ, we can tell about him who we pierced, who was pierced for us, and also we for 2,000 years have rejected him. This is the future that I can foresee, where Israel becomes a missionary-sending country, and that one day we will become, again, a light to the nation, but in a spiritual realm as well. And at this point in our history, we are still in need of much prayer and support, but I believe that the day would come where God would use us to glorify himself through the gospel. And if you don't believe what I say, you should read Jim's, one of your members' book, The Jewish Giftedness and Word Redemption, The Calling of Israel. The calling of Israel, I believe, has not ended. But while we talk about the faithfulness of God, I believe that it's not only relates to Israel, even though I spoke much about Israel. I believe that Israel is a model for each and every one of us, a model for the church today. Because of what we see, how God has been dealing and is dealing with Israel, it gives us, it gives the Church of Christ a great hope. A great hope that just as God did not reject his people of old, he will not reject us despite of our failures as well. And that is only and only because God, our triune God, is a faithful God, that he would keep his promises and the covenants that he has made. He is indeed the God who says, I will, and he will do it. May we put our trust in such a God and not in our performances, but to look upon him who paid the full price for our salvation. To him alone be the glory for his faithfulness and for his goodness. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look upon your word and also your deed, we see your goodness to us. We see your faithfulness to us despite of our many failures. But we thank you that as we look at what you have done and what you're doing today among Israel and among the Jewish people, it gives us a great hope, knowing that as faithful God, the day would come where you would bring us into your presence, just as you have promised, and that nothing can separate us from the love that you have for us in Christ Jesus. And it is his name that we pray. Amen.